Welcome to the Westminster Effects Doxology Podcast. We explore popular practices, songs, and ideas in the modern church world in the light of Sola Scriptura and Tota Scriptura. I'm Cody Fields, the president of Westminster Effects. Go buy stuff for your guitar at westminstereffects.com. Make sure you join the discussion in the Westminster Effects Doxology Podcast Lounge on Facebook, and make sure you subscribe and comment, blah, blah, blah. You know the drill at this point if you've ever listened to a podcast. This is the first episode we're recording from the Fight Laugh Feast Conference this year at the Ark Encounter, and I am joined by one Garrison Hardy. Garrison, how are you?
Hey, Cody, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. I wasn't really expecting this to happen, but it's a pleasant surprise.
Well, you came by the booth, and we might as well make it happen, right?
100%. Why not? It's kind of nice to get off my feet for a second.
Exactly. You've had a long couple of days. You actually work for... Is it Fight Laugh Feast or Cross Politics Studios, or what is it? What's the official title of that organization?
Yeah, so it's both, actually.
Okay.
So the Fight Laugh Feast Network is the umbrella to our network.
Gotcha.
And then Cross Politics is the flagship show, if you will, of said network. So, you know, I'm kind of under both, and anyways, I can help both brands be successful. That's my role.
Right, and so I met you through your efforts in that, and... basically as a sales or account rep, right? Like you garner advertising and you get people to show up here and buy booths and that kind of thing. How has that treated you recently?
Oh, it's a little hectic this time of year.
Yes. Yeah,
conferences are so much fun, as you know. I mean, you travel around and go to conferences yourself, but as the guy who's helped running it, there's just a lot of logistics that go into it, and a lot of dotting I's and crossing T's that goes into this sort of thing. And we've been very fortunate to have Miss Chelsea and Miss Allie helping us out throughout this as event coordinators. And I'll tell you what, the Lord's stretching me, because organization has never really been a strong suit of mine.
Yeah.
And getting to getting to help put something on like this and be the contact for 30 plus vendors and whatnot, it stretches you.
Right.
So it's been good.
And particularly with logistics for this at the Ark Encounter are a little bit more intense than years previous, because I've done this twice now with FLF. This is the first, not just the first conference, but the first time, period, I've shown up anywhere and a dog sniffed my car for bombs.
That's right. For the folks at home, they take their security very seriously here at the Ark Encounter, and it's understandable. I took a tour with one of the directors here. His name's Mark. And he was telling me about some of the threats that they've received as an organization.
Just tons.
Yeah, apparently people don't like Christendom. Go figure.
Go figure.
There's something in the Bible about that, that we'll be blessed if people hate us. And so, you know, they have very tight security here. Like, for instance, I almost put my bag down in a spot just by itself, and they said, you might not want to do that, because we may take the bag and sniff it, and you may not see it for a bit.
They might call in a bomb squad, maybe.
Yeah. But very understandable given the kinds of threats they've received. And
absolutely.
So it's crazy.
Yeah. So other than the craziness, you also, with the Fight Laugh Feast Network, you are responsible for the daily news brief.
That's right.
So that's effectively, my understanding is, Fight Laugh Feast answer to, you know, whether you want to call it, you know, Daily Wire's Morning Wire. I know the New York Times has one every day.
Right.
Or NPR News Now, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So what is, speaking as a news nerd, as a news junkie with a journalism degree, all that good stuff, what's your approach of determining what stories to put in that show every day?
Yeah. So obviously current events. I mean, my last news brief I did was about what's happening in Israel and the Middle East and the tragic story there. But really, it's honestly just whatever looks interesting to me.
Yeah.
I'm honestly a news curator, if you will.
Right.
So I've go through all these random news aggregators and find articles that I think, hey, our audience should hear about this or should keep an eye on this.
Almost like an audio version of the Drudge Report.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, we have our own, we call it Deft Wire, which is where you can find all the articles.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can find all the articles that I use because I post them there, and then I talk about them on the news brief.
Right.
And really, it can be a mix of current national events, worldwide events.
Yep.
It can be if there's anything going on in the church that should be noted, I put that in there as well. And then, of course, there's my favorite topic, sports, which that's how I say it at home, folks.
Yes.
It's really just kind of what interests me, but also things that I think we as Christians need to be aware of.
You
know, like, for instance, the World Economic Forum, just pure evil, the kind of things that they're trying to push silently, you know. Next thing you know, they're getting rid of car ownership. One of them talked about that recently.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw it. That wasn't in my last news brief. I might try to do a news brief here at the ARC, actually, because we got a setup up in the auditorium.
Good.
So
yeah, absolutely.
I'll talk to the team about that. But anyways, that's kind of the gist of the news brief.
Yeah, there. or even, so it's funny comparing different sources for different news stories, right? NPR is not about to cover the guy in Colorado, the cake baker. What's his name? Is it
I know I am awful with names. I know exactly who you're talking about.
But I wouldn't have known had I not listened to the news brief that he's back in court. I had no idea where, and I didn't even hear that from a conservative source like Morning Wire. Go figure. But this is why I'm a big advocate of listening to several news sources fairly regularly, rotate between them, because you're going to hear about things like NPR, you know, bless their hearts for all their leftism, but they did a really good job last year covering the coup in Myanmar, which I wouldn't have heard about from literally anywhere else.
Absolutely.
But so good job with the news brief.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now, you just started a new podcast, college sports based, right?
That's right.
And now, is this exclusively football? Is this basketball and football? Where are we going with that?
Currently, it's just football and basketball.
Sure.
You know, for the folks at home, the show is called Game Time with Garrison and Garrett. And we're just both passionate about those two sports. So we thought, if we want to be regular with this, if we, you know, we don't want to bite off more than we can chew, let's just start with college sports. And we both cover it. Yep. He's already been working for an organization that breaks down film and whatnot of draftees. And so, hey, college athletes, he's already keeping an eye on this stuff. We may as well jump into this. And I myself have been, I've always preferred college sports as opposed to the pros.
Same except with baseball for me, where I prefer Major League Baseball to college. But
Right.
I do prefer college football, absolutely.
There's just something magical.
Right.
And there's the pageantry about it, which we can get into that as far as the networks trying to ruin it. And
No, the first time I took my wife to... So we bummed a couple tickets off some friends several years ago and got in the upper deck of a Clemson game. That doesn't count in Death Valley.
Right.
You have to be on that lower bowl to really get the atmosphere, and it gets loud.
Yeah.
And the first time we had good tickets, it was their ACC opener. It was Trevor Lawrence's first year. This is freshman year, ACC opener against Duke. They start playing Tiger Rag. They run down the hill. The cannon goes off, all this stuff. And she looks at me and goes, "Is this a cult?" For some people, absolutely it is. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But to your point about the pageantry, you don't get that kind of stuff in the NFL.
No.
For as much talent as there is in the NFL, and especially the concentrated amount of talent, you don't have basically the love and care and almost, if I could be so bold, almost a liturgy to the game like you do in college sports.
Yeah, and there's this... It's so much more of a wholesome experience, in my opinion. It's almost a community effect.
No, it is. It absolutely is.
The NFL, when I go to NFL games, I don't get that vibe. I get the vibe of a bunch of 50-year-old sweaty men who are drunk off their rear. And
And the corporate sponsors.
Yep. And it, just fights breaking out. And don't get me wrong, that happens in college, of course. But it's just, for instance, I live in Moscow, Idaho, next to Pullman, Washington, where the Washington State Cougars play.
Yep.
And believe me, I have issues with that university, how they fired Coach Rolovich in the past for because he didn't take the vax. But I've gone to Cougar games since then, and my dad and I went to the Cougar-Wisconsin game. And the whole town literally turns out to watch their team play.
Yeah.
People travel from Spokane to see them play. Cougars actually have really high viewership given their size. And the Wisconsin fans show up, and it's fun. It's fun, playful, back-and-forth banter.
Right.
And there's no animosity. You know, as the game gets on, that they're obviously disappointed that the Cougs won. But on the way back, there, you know, I just was on the bus ride with some of them. They said, "You guys should join the Big Ten. We can talk about realignment and whatnot." But it was just good sportsmanship, and we want you to lose, obviously, but we want you to enjoy Pullman too.
Yeah.
I just get that vibe, even from the bigger schools.
That's absolutely how it is in Clemson.
Right.
And you have to say it properly with a P in the middle. It's not Clemson. It's Clemson.
Clemson. Right? Yes. Okay. Duly noted if I go there.
Right. It is a college town. There's basically nothing there but that and everything supporting
it. Same in Pullman.
And all of a sudden, it turns into the third largest city in South Carolina on Saturdays.
Right.
Mm-hmm. when you have over 80,000, sometimes 85,000 people in the stadium, never mind all the people just working or the students who don't go to the game or whatever.
Right.
Right. But I remember, you know, back in the day when they weren't very good, when Clemsoning was a thing during the Bowden years, and you just showed up and enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
And it was, oh, yeah, I remember that time that we tailgated over there.
Yeah.
Or over there. And even I went to a D2 Southern Baptist school. Their stadium seats, I don't know, 5,000 if it's packed.
Right.
And but even back then, and I haven't been back since then, and I need to, because they're actually halfway decent, if I understand.
Okay.
And they're 30 minutes away, so why wouldn't I?
Right.
But it's just a grass parking lot.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
you don't have to fight for 3 hours to get out of whatever parking lot you're in.
That's
with
right.
80,000 people. It's just go enjoy the game. Hey. Go enjoy the fact that these men have prepared for so long, right? And that's honestly the draw to sports, right?
Is right.
You have these men who have prepared their entire lives to go do this incredible physical feat.
Yes.
That you either have attempted to do and failed,
right?
Or maybe you did it pretty successfully at a lower level, or you did it in a video game, or all of those, right? But there really is something too, regardless of its D2, D3, high D1, and we even have within a 30-minute drive of me, Furman University, Wofford University, so more D1 schools.
That's right.
So lots of high-level sports. Just go enjoy the thing.
100%.
Enjoy seeing the fruits of someone's labor in what they've prepared to do for so long, right?
Right. No, I always talk about how when Christians ask me, why should we care about sports?
This isn't getting people saved.
Exactly. To me, sports is a microcosm of life.
Yes.
And I'm going to have all my kids play. When God blesses me with a quiver full of arrows, they're going to play team sports. They're at least going to try it. And if it doesn't work out, then God didn't have it for them.
Then they can buy some Westminster effects and make a lot of noise. And drive
exactly.
You crazy that way.
And there'll be lesser children, but I'll still love them. No, I'm kidding. but to me, there's just so much. You talked about the discipline that it takes to be an athlete and how the hard work that goes into it. A team of different backgrounds and personalities coming together to work for a common and bigger goal than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to set them up for success in the workforce, because you're going to be a part of a team doing the same thing.
Yep.
And it shows them how to overcome disappointment, how to overcome injury, how to overcome trials and tribulations, how to handle success when God blesses you in that way.
Yes.
In a game setting that you're not going to get that opportunity to deal with in real life.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's a great preparer of what God has in front of the youngsters.
Which, here's an interesting angle on that. What's your take on travel sports?
So when folks are just pushing their kids to that limit, to me, it almost becomes like a job and an idol.
Yeah.
If your child is clearly gifted and think,
right,
could he actually go pro?
Right.
You really got to sit with that.
Which is not when he's 11 years old.
No, not at all. Not at all. But there are, like, for instance, in soccer or football, there's the term wonder kid. And they're already starting to develop traits that only pros would probably have.
Right.
And
ball handling skills and stuff like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And maybe in basketball, you can see that kind of acumen as well. Kind of the instinct. In football, too, I think. If your kid's starting to develop at that stage, you as a parent have to sit down and really dig into the Bible, I think, and think, is this best for my child to give him these extra opportunities and potentially take away, you know, just a normal kid's life and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you got to sit together as a couple and really dig into that and not, for me, don't push it too much. I see the helicopter parents all the time who are just living vicariously through their kids. And it's so cringeworthy and so sad because you're sapping all the joy out of it for that kid. And there's going to be a lot of issues that come out of that from down the road.
Yeah.
So I cringe at the travel sports for the most part, unless there's some actual biblical thought into it.
I asked that. I've been involved in it before.
Okay.
I used to coach baseball some and helped coach a couple of travel teams. Mm. And you have so many issues. One of the biggest issues for me was that so many of them basically treat these kids like mercenaries.
Mm.
Where, hey, we need a pitcher or a left fielder this weekend. Can you fill in? And sometimes that's okay, but when you can jump ship and say, I'm done with this team, I spent 2 weekends with you and I don't enjoy you,
right?
And I'm out,
I quit,
as opposed to gutting it through a season of, you know, 20 games and we're terrible this year. I have to learn how to deal with that.
That's right.
Because you're not always going to go 162-0. You're not always, I mean, you never are going to do that. So that was one of my biggest things, other than the fact that, oh, you're not in church, are you? And particularly when some of these wonder kids start to play. I think Bryce Harper, when he was 16, played like 130 games.
Oh, my word.
Mostly travel ball. Some for his high school, but then he graduated early, got his GED so he could go play JUCO at 17 and 18 and played in a wood bat league with that and set records and whatever.
Right.
And yes, he is getting paid.
Amen. But what percentage level are we talking here, folks?
Right, exactly. What percentage? Like Vody Bachum has said, there's a 0.0 whatever percent chance he goes pro and 100% chance he stands before God. So it's finding that balance, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And let's not even forget the injury aspect of this. You're asking a bunch of kids who are still developing. Mm. Their bodies are not meant for this kind of wear and tear.
And I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand.
I watched a special on the NBA and just the injury level that we have seen increased. Star players are missing more time than ever before. This is with increased rest. This is with less practices. And we're still seeing brutal injuries now.
Because they've killed themselves while they were teenagers already.
Right. The wear and tear on kids playing AAU ball and who knows what else. They're playing thousands of games going into the college level.
Yep.
And then you've got 40-game seasons in the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, you're playing 82 games a year plus playoffs, which could be up to 16 or more.
Yep.
And your body's just thousands upon thousands of more miles than it used to be.
Right.
And Michael Jordan's trainer also talked about this. You know, this is more the training aspect of it, but they're focusing more on different stretches and techniques. Mm-hmm. And for all the advanced technology we have these days, he says you can't replace the weight room at the end of the day. They need to do more strength training, which at the end of the day is more miles on a young kid and whatnot.
Also true.
So, there's that aspect too. And we can point back to the day of rest. You know, I think
if you're missing
church and to go play a sport, you're not taking the day of rest seriously.
Yeah.
So again, the idolatry level of it with these travel teams a lot of times is my concern.
Yeah, exactly. You also mentioned before we wrap up here, you mentioned you've got a little side hustle going on. What's going on there?
So here's the plan, folks. God gifted me with this voice. And my Indeed. Thought is, why don't I did a play-by-play thing, commentary over a friend's highlight reel.
Okay.
And they just wanted me to do it for the heck of it. They gave me a script and just to kind of help them prepare for games and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then people heard that and thought, why don't you take this nationally, do it over people's videos, and get schools involved and have them pay you for this, for that editing and for that work there.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the process, the people here at Sing Your Part in the booth to your right are Ian. He's going to help me with a website for it.
That's awesome.
And parents can essentially send in requests and orders and whatnot, and I'll record at either a script, or I can just commentate on a video that I'm watching, edit it down, and send it your way. So it's not all concrete just yet, but that's my thought there.
Yeah, really cool concept. What's it going to be called?
That's another one. Okay. I still got to figure that out. Stay tuned, folks. I haven't even had the time to go for the branding because here I am at the conference doing this stuff and, you know, got to focus on this first. But it's coming by the end of this year. You know, I hope to have something up and running.
So I then take it, you have this voice, you're doing this kind of thing. Who are your favorite sports announcers of all time then?
Oh, that's good. Mike Breen instantly comes to mind, an NBA voice. He's the guy who says, bang, whenever an NBA Steph Curry hits a crazy three. Al Michaels, just that classic voice here in Kansas City. And he just paints the picture so well. Kirk Herbstreit, minus his wokeness, College Game Day personality. His analyst skills are fantastic. You know what? I don't care what people say. Joe Buck. I think, I know, for baseball, I've heard some of his calls where he puts no passion into it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Joe.
Great for football.
Yes.
I will give him that. He is a great football announcing voice.
Okay.
Yes.
But just the baseball struggle.
The baseball's terrible, especially in those years where he was paired with Tim McCarver doing color work.
And
That was just brutal. Personally, my favorites, being a child of the 90s, I'm partial to the Braves crew. You know, you had Skip Carey, Pete Van Wieren, Joe Simpson, Don Sutton.
Right.
And you would have two of them who would start on TV. Two of them would start on the radio. This is when they were on TBS. They'd get through half of the game and then switch spots.
Oh, interesting.
Which one, you think about the challenge of switching mediums.
Yeah.
Of going between radio and TV. It's entirely different.
Right.
Calling a game on radio. You have to be so much more descriptive on radio. Yeah. As opposed to TV, you can just let it happen and just say, yeah, that happened.
Right. No, 100%.
So definitely spoiled by those guys growing up. But then also, I know this isn't popular with a lot of conservative types because of that one stupid thing he said about guns years ago, but I love listening to Bob Costas.
Oh, he's got a great voice.
He can tell a story.
That's right.
He understands. He was just on the Book of Joe podcast. It's Joe Madden, former major league manager for the Rays, Angels, etc., and Cubs for that matter, and Tom Verducci. And Costas made a great point about how most sports announcers can tell you what's going on perfectly adequately.
Right.
Where they often lack is telling you the overall narrative, the story within the story, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to hype, because there's so much hype instead of, hey, what's the story here?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
again, just reminds me of Al Michaels and his ability to talk about the history of the game and whatnot.
Yep.
You know, as far as maybe some other ones, Gus Johnson, we're talking about hype.
Yeah.
He's your hype guy.
Yeah.
He can just, he is through the roof excitement. And a gain of two, you know, it's like, geez, Gus, relax. You know, Gus Johnson, and then Mike Tirico. He's had some great calls.
Yeah.
I think he's done some baseball. But anyways, Brad Nessler, the voice of the SEC, Vern Lundquist back in the day.
Yeah.
And
You've studied this a little bit.
A little
bit. You kind of know what you're talking about.
My dad said, you got the face for radio. You should be. No. But my goal would be to someday be a broadcaster, Lord willing, and retake it for Christ and use that storytelling to paint a picture for sports, and Lord willing, we take sports back for Christendom someday.
Love it. Well, on that note, go follow. Where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Garrison Hardy.
Yep.
And then the Daily News Brief. Just type that in on any podcast, or Game Time with Garrison and Garrett. Same social media.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thanks for listening to the Westminster Effect Doxology Podcast. Go love God, love your neighbor, and make some music. We'll see you next time.